you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another, just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep he will place on his right, the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you comforted me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and care for you?' Then the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, as often as you did it for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you gave me no welcome. I was naked, you gave me no clothing. I was ill and in prison, and you didn't care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Friday and Saturday, we got the whole point of Lent at the daily Mass readings, when God described for us very much the type of Lenten fast he wanted us to do. The bridegroom, in a sense, is with us always until the end of time. So in a sense, we're supposed to fast always with joy. But there's a part of us that's not with the bridegroom. Precisely that part of us that doesn't fast for what God fasts for, that doesn't hunger, that doesn't starve to death for what God is starving to see done. Today, we get a fuller development of what God is hungering for, which is what our Lenten fast is meant to lead us to hunger for. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. But sometimes when we have this sense of holiness, we can just think about our own personal relationship with Jesus. As long as I'm praying, as long as I have no mortal sins on my soul, as long as I'm doing a little, that's all God wants. And it's obvious from today's readings that the type of holiness the Lord wants is what the saints and the church call the perfection of charity. Real holiness is when God, who was love, reigns in us and we begin to love like God. If we pray 24 hours a day, if we fast on no food at all throughout all of Lent, we're still not necessarily growing in holiness unless the fruit of those ascetical practices translate into the way we treat God in others. In the first reading from the book of Leviticus, in what's called the Levitical Code of Holiness, we see a whole bunch of what you would say would be negative actions that if we're seeking holiness, we won't do. The Old Testament in general was about a thou shalt not. There were little hints, as we'll see at the very end of this passage, love your neighbor as yourself, little hints of positiveness. But as St. Paul would say, the entire Old Testament is a pedagogue. It's a disciplinarian. It's a tutor. And just like most parents, when they're raising kids, don't start talking about the big positives. They'll say, don't stick the key in the electrical outlet. Don't put your hand on the fire. Don't cross the street without looking both ways. Before we're able to grasp the positive stuff, we first need to recognize what we're not to do. We're supposed to see those parameters, and that's what we have here. You shall not steal, shall not lie or speak falsely, shall not swear falsely, shall not defraud or rob, shall not withhold overnight the wages of your day laborer, shall not curse the deaf, put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Things you can get away with. Nobody would catch you if you curse the deaf. The deaf can't hear you. Or if you put a stumbling block in front of the blind, nobody, the blind person's not going to be able to know it was you. But don't do these wicked things, he goes on. Shall not act dishonestly in rendering judgment. You shall not play favorites. Shall not go spreading splendor. Shall not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is at stake. Shall not bear hatred. Take no revenge. Cherish no grudge. All of this is basically summarized in you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which in the Old Testament meant you shall not do to your neighbor what you wouldn't want your neighbor to do to you. That's where it starts. These are the types of things for which God wants us to fast. These are the types of behaviors he wants to eliminate. This is the way he's calling us to turn away from sin, so that we can become faithful to the gospel, to turn our back on the wiles of the devil who's always trying to trip us up, so that we can turn our face and our heart toward God. In the gospel, though, Jesus doesn't give us a negative. Jesus gives us the fundamental positive about what he's hungering for, but what he wants of us, not just this Lent, but always. And it's a very, very challenging standard. He doesn't just tell us what not to do. He tells us what he expects. He expects us to treat everyone the way we would treat him. Period. And everything changes when we start to look at everybody else the way we look at Jesus. Our priorities change. Remember, the one who says these words was hungry on the cross. He cried out in his fifth word, I thirst. He was stripped totally naked. The loincloth is just for our weaknesses, so that we wouldn't be looking at a naked man on a cross. He was stripped totally naked. He was obviously a stranger in the world he created, kicked out of even the city of Jerusalem to be crucified like a malefactor outside of the city. He's totally ill. And he was imprisoned, hammered to the wood. The one who says these words has experienced these things. He wanted us to find him in every one of the least of his brothers and sisters. I was hungry and you fed me. How often do we seek out those who are hungry to feed them? There are a lot of hungry people there. Do we ignore them? Or do we minister to Jesus who was hungry? A lot of people who are thirsty, not just thirsting for water, thirsting for justice, thirsting for holiness. Do we seek to try? We're not going to be able to satiate the thirst of everybody on the planet. But Jesus isn't asking us to do that. When we meet the person who is thirsty, we fill that person's thirst the way we would Jesus' own. When they're naked, do we seek to clothe them? When they have no clothes, do we trade our clothes with them? There was an interesting video that I saw on Facebook last week. It happened in Denmark. that there was a little sort of film project that was done by a bunch of college students, where one of the college students just went out on a park bench in the middle of a Scandinavian winter with no jacket on, shivering. And a whole bunch of other people were coming and sitting next to him on that bench, looking at this really thin kid freezing like crazy out there. It was being filmed with a hidden camera. Many of the people just kind of looked and just saw this kid shivering. But there were a few people at the end who started to talk to him. Couldn't really make out the dialogue unless you speak Danish. But some started to take off their jacket and cover, at least until the bus came. Others gave the jacket permanently. Do we clothe the naked? We're living in an age, for example, in which pornography is rampant. And people don't clothe the naked at all. It's just like, take it all off, is the attitude of our culture. Do we clothe their nakedness because we care about them? Or do we take advantage of them even if they won't see? The way God was describing the way you could set stumbling blocks before the blind, today's first reading. When they were ill, do we comfort them? Do we actually go out of our way to care for those who are sick, those who are in nursing homes, those who are in hospitals, those who are at home with no possibility of coming out? Do we cross the road as good Samaritans? Some of the times they'll need for us just to help them get out of bed. Some of the times they'll need some real encouragement. But that's what we do as Christians, because we're doing it for Jesus. For immigrants, strangers, people who are coming in, people we don't know. You know, one of the things that really convicts Catholic parishes is when strangers come into churches, for the most part, they are ignored. It's not like, who are you? My name is Roger. Great to meet you. Thanks for coming and praying with us today. Instead, kind of looked, didn't see that person before. Some of the times if they come and sit in a parishioner's pew, they might get the evil eye. I may have told the story a few months ago. There was a Protestant pastor appointed in a church, and he had worked out with the elders who had hired him a little test for the real Christian veracity of that community. He dressed up with the help of some friends of his who were costume designers and makeup artists for the theater. He dressed up totally as a homeless man. And he went on in and he tried to meet some people, and more or less everybody was ignoring him. He sat in the back pew and everybody else was trying to sit as far away as possible from him. After they had a little social down below, nobody came to talk to him. Following week, they welcomed their new minister, and everybody was so happy, and everybody was so hospitable. He said, I've heard some good things about this church. I heard that you're very welcoming. Is that true? And they're all like, yes, Reverend, that's all true. And then he said, have you ever seen a man who looked like this? So he starts reaching out, and he takes first out the glasses he was wearing. Then he takes the wig out that he was wearing. And then he takes the beard and the rest of the stuff that had been put on. And then he puts on the outer garment, and then he gets into the pants. Said, anybody recognize me? They hadn't cared for him when he looked like a homeless man. And now everybody was stepping over each other in order to get into the good graces of their new pastor. Do we really care for Christ when he's a stranger? Or do we say, where's your green card? Get out of my country. Or you don't belong here, this is mine. Likewise, when somebody's in prison, do we at least pray for prisoners? Pray for their conversion. Do we try to help them out? There are always needs for rosary beads in prisons, Bibles in prisons. You can buy Bibles for $5 a piece, and they can't get enough of them there. It's one of the only books that they can get immediately in prison. So many other ways we can care for prisoners. When a prisoner comes out, we recognize he's done time. Do we draw closer or do we run away? These are all things that Jesus wants us to take very seriously. And if we do, Jesus makes an unbelievable promise to us today. He promises us a kingdom. He says that his Father wants to give us a kingdom. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Now, some of the times when we hear that, we think we'll be able to enter into that kingdom. We might be able to set our foot inside the palace of the king. And for us, that's big. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's talking about your Prince Charles. And when Queen Elizabeth passes, you will inherit the kingdom of England. That's what he's talking about. God wants to make you kings. Wants to make you queens. And the path is to become holy as the Lord is holy. To become perfected in charity as the Lord is perfect in charity. To start to love Him in all His disguises. Jesus loves the poor so much that he identifies with them intimately. Whatever we do to the least of them, we do to him. St. Paul, you remember when he was struck on the road to Damascus, Jesus didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my church?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He identifies that particularly. When St. Martin of Tours met that shivering naked man at the gates of Amiens, France, and he dismounted his horse and took out his sword, that man thought that he was about to be slain, but Martin used that sword to cut his precious Roman kappa in half and covered the shivered man with half and kept the other half for himself. And later on that night, Jesus appeared to Martin in a dream, and he was covered with Martin's kappa. And on Saturday we celebrated the feast of St. John of God. There was one time when St. John of God was giving alms to a poor man, and he reached in to his habit in order to be able to find a few coins that he would be able to give. But as he was reaching into his habit, he saw the poor man's bare feet. And they had holes in them. And it's then that St. John of God recognized that the alms he was giving to the one who had nails driven through his feet. That's what Jesus is talking about today. This is what God hungers for. This is what our fast is meant to lead us to. Let's not waste any more time. Now is the day of our salvation. God wants to give us the grace to love in this way. Let's do so.